Let me just pray before we turn to look at Acts chapter 3. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active. We thank you that it speaks to us powerfully today. Lord, would you change us today by the power of your word? Help us to recognize the power that is in the name of Jesus. And Lord, would you still our hearts and help us to worship you as we turn to your word together. Amen. So you might want to have your finger in Acts chapter 3 and open it up. And we're going to be looking from this passage at power to change. The story that we look at this morning, it's set in the book of Acts, which is a book of amazing change that highlights amazing new power, the power of the Holy Spirit for a newly transformed people. And the story that we have here is a real life drama that tells one of the amazing stories of change that happened at the very start of the early Christian church. It comes not long after Jesus had returned to heaven, a while after he had died and been miraculously raised from the dead, and had shown himself to many, many people to prove that he was really alive, to prove he was really God, to prove that he really had power to save people from sin and to defeat death. And just before Jesus returned to heaven, he promised that his people would receive power when the Holy Spirit came and lived with them and in all of his people. This power would transform his people from frightened cowards into fearless witnesses for him, ready to tell the world about Jesus and ready to die doing it if they had to. And just as Jesus promised, it happened. And we see that in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came. His people were transformed, and many, many people were saved and decided to follow him. So now we come to this amazing story of change in the life of one man in Acts chapter 3. But very briefly, before we look at this man, it's worth noticing that he isn't the only transformed person in the story. We also have Peter and John. And do you remember Peter? Peter was the guy who disowned Jesus, pretended he didn't even know him because he was afraid of a servant girl near where Jesus was crucified. The same Peter who disowned Jesus, who denied him three times, is now a fearless witness for Jesus. And if we skip forward to Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, we see him speaking with power and with courage. And the crowd, who aren't his biggest fans, see how he speaks and are amazed, since he is an ordinary and uneducated man. But they notice something else about him. A key to the change in Peter, and a key to all the positive change that we see in Acts chapter 3. In verse 13 of chapter 4, they noted that he had been with Jesus. And that is key. So now we come to the man, the lame man. At the start of Acts chapter 3, we are painted a picture of this desperate, powerless man. He was lame since birth, and he was born with some problem with his legs or his ankles that left him unable to walk. He was unemployed, unemployable, and he wasn't even able to get anywhere without assistance. Just to lie and to beg for money, he needed his friends to carry him, and he was utterly helpless and dependent, and he knew it. And he recognized that without the assistance of others, he would never survive. So he had his friends carry him to the temple gate, a gate called Beautiful, where people would walk past him on their way to pray. And notice where he is. He is outside the temple. He does not mix with those going to pray. He does not join those going in to pray. He is separate from God, and he is outside. He does not go into the temple. He cannot go in. All he can do is try and get enough change, a few coins here, a few coins there, from kind passers-by. All he hoped for was enough money to buy his daily bread. So he sat there, and he asked for money. And when he saw Peter and John on their way into the temple to pray, he called out and asked for money. But what did Peter say? They looked straight at him. Peter and John looked intently at him, and they called to him to look at them. It must have been his habit not to even look those passers-by in the eye. His level of self-worth was probably so low. His level of disappointment so familiar. But when Peter told him to look at him, he did. And he hoped and he expected to get something from them. When Peter started to speak, look at us. We don't have any money. And the man's heart must have sunk. But Peter didn't finish there, and the lame man continued to listen. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. And Peter said to the man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. The man, the lame man, must have been surprised, to say the least. But Peter reached down his hand and lifted the lame man up by his right hand. This is the means that God used to bring change in the lame man's life. Words spoken in the name of Jesus. God's authoritative words. This is still the means that God uses today. His words spoken in his name with his authority really change lives, save people. But Peter and John did not simply utter some words and walk away. They stopped, they reached down, and they lifted the man to his feet. Then they walk with him into the temple to pray and praise God together. And isn't this just a wonderful picture of evangelism and discipleship? Real care, real concern, and real love. As soon as Peter spoke and reached out his hand, instantly the lame man's ankles become strong, and he was made completely well. No need for surgeons or physios or rehab, nothing. Just 1 second lame, and the next 100% fit and healthy. The man who had been lame jumped to his feet. He walked, he ran, he jumped, and he went with Peter and John into the temple courts to pray and to praise God. He had been utterly changed, powerfully changed, and permanently changed. But don't miss the biggest change to the lame man's life. It wasn't from social outcast to social star. It wasn't from being lame to becoming an athlete. It wasn't from grumpy person to happy person. It was from someone who was outside the temple, away from God, and focused on his material needs, to someone inside the temple, in the presence of God, praising the God, this God, for his immense spiritual blessing. Salvation in the name of Jesus. Sins wiped out. He was turned from his old praiseless and prayerless life to a life of praise and prayer. This is the real change that matters. The real change that lasts for eternity. So whatever other change you are looking for in this new year, make sure you've experienced this change. When the crowd saw what had happened to the lame man, they were amazed. They knew this man. He'd been sitting at that gate for years and years. But now they saw him walking around inside the temple and praising God. And as the man stood holding onto Peter and John, the crowd gathered around and stared at Peter and John in amazement. They thought that these two men must be something incredible. To do something like this, surely these two men must have some special power, some special level of godliness. But Peter was quick to point them to the real source of this power for change. And he said, why do you stare at us as if by our own power and godliness we made this man walk? You see, the true source of power, Peter says, is not him, but his Lord, his Master and his God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus, who is both God and the servant of Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who rescues redeems and keeps his promises forever. The faithful God, who is all-powerful, the one who made the universe by the power of his words. This is the one. Jesus is the one you should be looking at, they say. Peter, who had also once disowned Jesus, but is now transformed by Jesus, can say to the crowd with boldness, "You disowned him. You had him killed. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and you had him murdered. But God raised him from the dead." Peter says to them, "You disowned him once. Don't be fools and disown him again. Jesus is the one who wields this amazing power to transform, this amazing power to change. Look to Jesus. Look at this man who was once lame, that you all know, who has been made well and strong, and see the power of Jesus." And he continues, "It is by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." And that's in verse 16. "This Jesus is the true source of power to change a lame man into a leaping man, from a poor, prayerless, and praiseless man to a man filled with praise for the power of God." And Peter tells the crowd that the only reason this man is changed is because he believed in the power of Jesus, the power to make wounded men whole and to save sinners just like him. So we see that it is God who gives the power to change in this story and also in our story. The God who made the world, the God who formed the stars, controls storms and holds oceans in his hands, the God who parts seas to rescue his people, the God who dies and conquers the grave to redeem his people. It is this God who gives power to change. And Paul, later on in a couple of his letters, one to Philippians and one to the Ephesians, notes something about the nature and the purpose of God's power. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, we read this: "We eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18 and 20, Paul writes this. He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. The power that is given to us who are in Christ is incomparably great. And that power is for change the way that God intends it. I wonder, do you have a sin that seems too powerful to break free from? God's power is greater. Do you have bitterness that has a vice-like hold on you? No, God's hands are stronger and his forgiveness is bottomless. Do you have a fear about the future? No, God's incomparably great power is yours if you are in Christ, and the hope that he gives us is sure and certain. Not only does God give us the power for change, God sets the direction of change. The power by which we are saved is God's. And it's more than that. It's the power by which we are daily, progressively, and permanently changed. Changed to be more like Jesus. This power for change is not ours to use as we will. God's power must and will be used God's way. God's power moves us more like a sailing boat than like a rowing boat. The power of a sailboat comes from the winds, and the wind directs it where it goes. A rowing boat comes from the power of the person in the boat pulling the oars. But God's power is like the wind that pushes a sailboat along. And when we yield to God's direction, then we experience God's power for change. If we want to experience God's power for change, we have to give in to his direction for change. If the lame man had insisted on getting silver and gold, he would still be penniless and lame. When it comes to the change that God wants to make in our lives, he is not so much concerned about our circumstances as he is about our character. He would rather make us rich in love than rich in money. He would rather see us fit for his kingdom than fit for a marathon. He would rather make us a people who offer comfort to the suffering than to make us a people who are comfortable in our surroundings. God cares much more about our character than our circumstances. And this is the kind of change that God wants to make in us. By his power, when we surrender to this kind of change, when this is the kind of change that we are aiming for in our own lives, then we can know with certainty we will achieve it. Not in our power, but in his. By the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, and in the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died for us and who lives forever for us. I want to bring us back again to this verse that we looked at briefly earlier on in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, 23 and 24, because I think for me it's so encouraging that this summarizes God's direction of change. His will for our lives is that we would be sanctified, and he is the one who does the sanctifying. The verse says this: may God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it.